You guys there? Okay. Oh, praise God. This is a crazy day, isn't it? God's got something planned. I just want to walk in His plan. You know, we spend time and everything preparing for service and preparing a message and so forth, what we believe God has put on our heart. And the thing is, He is certainly entitled to change the plan. And the important thing is that we're prepared with something. And let Him take the wheel from there. But we are in a series here, which I believe you put on my heart, and called Freedom from Within. We talked about freedom being some kind of a nebulous thought, shapeless, wandering thought that we know it's there, but probably not for me. That type of thing, and you can't approach it like that. Jesus talked about freedom as a reality for anybody who believes. Freedom is a reality. For everyone who believes. It doesn't depend on the weather. It doesn't depend on anything natural. He connected one thing with freedom, and that is truth. Amen? Amen. He said, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you are thirsty for freedom, let's say freedom from habits, addictions, sins, whatever, freedom from fear, freedom from people. You know, the fear of man is a snare, the Bible says. It will ensnare you. There's so many things vying for our attention to draw us away, and all of those things lead to bondage. And bondage is not freedom. But Jesus said, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples. A disciple is a disciplined one. That's what it really means. It means disciplined one. And because if you are a disciple, you are disciplining yourself according to the teaching of whom you are a disciple of, right? That should be a blinding flash of the obvious to us. But I did a whole thing on research one time, and I researched out discipleship, and the etymology of words is the beginning, the roots of words, and what they actually mean. For instance, if you take the word luck, oh, I'm lucky today. You know what, the word luck, that can be traced all the way back, luck, to Lucifer. It is connected to Satan himself, Lucifer. And he wasn't so lucky, was he? Because his end is declared from the throne of God. And big mistake. You say, well, that was stupid. Well, you know, there's a case for that. I mean, he knew everything he knew, and yet he still made the wrong choice. So this is what discipline is about. It's about keeping on the road. Keeping on the map that God draws for us, because His plan for you leads to peace. It leads to joy. It leads to a loving relationship with Him, with your family, with others, and it really will fulfill you. All that's in the world is just gratification. And here's the thing. Freedom is not casting off all restraints and doing what you want to do when you want to do it. Remember the Mamas Papas? Mamas and Papas, do what you want to do, go where you want to go. Da, 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 da. That's not freedom. Because the more you do what you want to do, the more you do to fill your own desires, your own needs, your whatever, what happens is those desires get stronger every time you fulfill those desires. Ladies, come on. If you buy that thing at the store, that you want, it gets easier to buy the next thing, doesn't it? When you tell a lie to somebody, it's easier to tell the next lie. Come, are you there?
Yes.
No. But it's easier to do it. It's a slippery slope. And it just gets easier and easier and easier. So what happens is, what you're actually doing is when you're fulfilling that certain addiction, let's say, or that certain habit, what you're doing is you're making that habit stronger and stronger, and it leads you to bondage. So freedom is not having unlimited restraints. Or that's not a way of putting that. It's having, freedom is not having no restraint. Freedom is the presence of truth. Because truth aligns you with God. Every move you make towards Jesus is a move towards truth. Every move towards truth is a move towards freedom. So stand up against that thing. Next time that desire comes to you, stand up to it. You have what's inside of you. You already have something called patience, which is endurance. You can endure the test. You can endure the trial. You can endure the temptation. You can't. Don't let the devil say, oh, you can't. Not you. Oh, no. You can't. See, you've got a problem. And that's for other people, but not for you. That's a voice that's coming from the pit of hell. And you need to stand up against it and say, no, I am not. I am a son of the living God. His DNA is in me. I am a new creation in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And doing those things in Christ, guess what happens? You get stronger and stronger in those things. Because you notice it's not, I do all things in Christ who strengthens me. No, it's I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. It's doing the things of God that will bring strength into your life. Doing the things of the devil will eat away and corrode you, and it'll cause a numbness of mind after a while. It'll produce pride and things like that. Freedom. Freedom. Everybody say freedom. Freedom. That was the cry of this country 250 plus years ago. And they got so hungry for freedom that they actually united. And here's a stat, too. This came from David Barton. How many of you know who David Barton is? And he has the stats. I mean, he's a researcher all his life on this. In the colonies, you had people who were still loyal to the crown. They didn't want any trouble. They didn't want the soldiers to come in and drag them out and hang them. So they just were neutral. They were loyal to the crown, which was most of the colonies. There's only 8% of the colonists who went to war against the greatest army in the entire world, the strongest and most powerful military in the whole world. And we won. Why? Because we were united. We were united in a cause of freedom, and God honored it. And there were so many miracles during the Revolutionary War. Don't believe all this garbage that people are telling you. All this country was founded on the backs of slaves. Every country was in slavery, had slavery going for them back then. It was a way of life back then. But if you look at the Declaration of Independence, this whole thing was designed to end slavery. And it did. George Washington left in his will that the guy who was with him, this slave, who, by the way, was an indenture slave, they got paid every year or whatever, but they were paid. He paid his people well. And this guy, he left in his will that this guy, who was his right-arm man, the one guy he trusted, this black man, inherited a pension that would last him for the rest of his life. So don't believe all this garbage they teach you. These are socialists who come in. They want to overthrow this country. They don't want to honor it. This is a country that was founded for freedom, from freedom, from those who cried out for us. Anyhow, that's my nickel. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, one thing that will help you understand, we're going to talk about a verse of scriptures that says, we have the mind of Christ. That is one of the most outlandish, awesome, amazing, bold statements in the letters of Paul. That we have the mind of that. That doesn't mean we're omniscient. Like, it doesn't mean we're God. I can know Lori's thoughts because we've been together for 42 years. You know, this is why I'm not afraid of offending anybody. I'm not afraid of anybody and what they... I'm not afraid of you. I mean, I've been married to her for 42 years. Because I know her, and I know her thoughts towards me. I'm not her, but I know her thoughts. We share. This is what I'm getting at. But I thought I'd add a bit of levity there, if it helped. While you're sitting there, you might as well laugh. It's going to be a fun day. You know, church is supposed to be fun. Church is supposed to be fellowship, fun, food. It's supposed to be a celebration of a God who loved us enough to die for us. Praise God. You know, and you get into some churches and say, you got to be holy. And, you know, the thing is, everything they're doing is so unholy, it's trying to be holy. When we just do what the Bible says to do, we'll be holy. All the work... The work for us was already completed in Christ, but the work in us is an ongoing thing of a renewal of the mind, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, renewing our mind. You know, the most powerful man on the earth when Jesus walked was Jesus. A storm couldn't hit him, couldn't sink his boat. He calmed the storm. He healed the multitudes. Have you ever noticed? He healed the multitude. He didn't sit down with them and say, "Now, Philip, have you not sinned in the last 2 weeks? Are you worthy of my healing power?" Did he say anything like that? Do you have to be holy to receive healing from God? To receive forgiveness of God? You don't. You just come to him and you receive what he has. It'll change your life. Because if you receive his word, you'll receive his truth, and the truth will make you free. He's not there to condemn you. He's not there to do it. He didn't do all of that for himself. He did it for you. He did it for you because you couldn't do it for yourself. And none of us can. None of us could. His words are the only words in the history of man that can make you free. The word of God is the only thing that has the power to do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I started off on an explanation there, and I'll get back to it. Verse 3. Paul is writing to the Corinthians. He says, "Remember when I was with you?" He said, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect." That word perfect, it's not perfect. What it means is of full age. It's an old English thing. That's what the way they talked. It means to be mature. It means to be of a full age. So we speak wisdom among them that are of a full age, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory or for our benefit, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Oh, this is big. Verse 9, "But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love them." That's where most people stop, right there. But it doesn't stop there. says, yeah, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man. But God has revealed them to us by the Spirit. What? All those things that have not, that your eyes haven't seen or ears heard or anything like that. That's what the Holy Spirit reveals to us. By his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And what man knows the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of him, of God. Which things also we speak. You know, you've got to speak what you hear from God. That completes the loop, let's say. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but in the holy, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual words. That's what that means. It says comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It actually means combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Words are spirit. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Words are spirit. So this is comparing spiritual words with spiritual thoughts. Verse 14, but the natural man, this is the carnal mind, the natural mind that is hooked into the five physical senses and all of the knowledge base that's accumulated in most people is accumulated through their five physical senses. That's the natural man. And the natural man receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. They say, oh, that doesn't make sense. Give, and it shall be given to you. I mean, you know, that's like somebody throwing a left hook, and you lean into it. It doesn't make sense. Give. I'm broke. Well, has holding on to your money helped you so far if you're broke? Give it to God. He knows. Look what he did with the fish and the loaves. Come on. It's like, get with the program here. Things that you hold on to so tightly like this and grip so tightly and because you're afraid that you'll be missing something. Fear. But if you trust God, look what happens when you trust God. You know, John D. Rockefeller, richest man in the country in his day. Richest man in the country. A guy interviewed him once. He says, how did you get all these ideas and everything? He says, and how did you get so rich? He says, because when I was a little kid, my Baptist mom taught me how to tithe. And it's easy for me to give $1 million now if I have 100 million, because I learned how to give a dime when I had a dollar. And I think it was a paper route or something that he had when he was a kid. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's verse 14. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. This is not the same judging word that you see in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, where he says, judge not, lest you be judged. That means condemning. That means judging a person as less than yourself. This is appraising. He that is spiritual appraises all things. It's an appraisal type of judging. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have what? Say it out loud. We have the mind of Christ. Outlandish. You know, if you're witnesses, you don't do this, but when you're witnessing to somebody and they have a question, just say, I have the mind of Christ. They're going to walk. They're going to walk away and say, Yahtzee, you're done. And loopoo. But you see how crazy this sounds? And even believers, they read this and say, yeah, maybe someday. Don't say that. It doesn't say you will have it someday. It says you have it now. If you don't use what you have, oh well. This is why he's telling you what you have. You have the ability to think God's thoughts, to reason with God's reasoning, with his logic. The logic of heaven is totally backwards from the logic of this world. It's perverted. I mean, this world is perverted. It's perverted the truth into some self-centered, self-fulfilling, self-gratifying mindset that never really does fulfill. Never really does. It only gratifies from time to time to time to time to time. And the appetites are still there. But one... This is what ruined the Apostle Paul. When he went to the third heaven and saw what he saw, he was ruined for this world. There is nothing in this world that can satisfy an eternal spirit, and you are an eternal spirit. You will live forever. When you came together with your husband and wife and had a child, you gave birth to an eternal spirit, and you are responsible to lead them in the way that they should go so that they won't depart from it. It's a powerful thing. Now, that's not to condemn anybody whose kids didn't turn out right. There are times that that just happens. Look at King David. I don't know any more spiritual man in the Old Testament than King David. And he had a son named Absalom who turned against him and went around all of Israel trying to collude the people against him and get it for himself. And Absalom got killed. He killed himself actually riding a horse, trying to marshal the troops and take over the kingdom. His head got caught in the branch of in the fork of a tree like this, and he gone. So don't get condemned over it. But look, all the more encourage them. Encourage them and pray for your kids. God has everything in place. He needs your prayers. He knows how to get them. He knows where their heart is. He knows the key. He has the keys to their heart. Prayer turns them. So we have the mind of Christ. How do we get to that point? Well, let's go back. Let's look at the progression of these things. Verse 9, it says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them." Number one is, God has prepared things that are beyond human understanding. They are beyond the ability of the human mind to assimilate. It's just above and beyond. So that's number one. Look at verse 10. "But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit." You may be born again. You may have the Spirit of Christ formed in you. But when Jesus walked on the world, who was the Christ, the Messiah, who walked in here, he needed an agent. He needed a help. And you know who that helper was? He met that helper in the Jordan River. When he came up from being baptized, and that equipped him to go out in the wilderness and whip Satan himself. He really pulled everything out of the drawer and tried to get Jesus. And he said, "If you're the Son of God." Do you know what he was trying to get Jesus to do? He was trying to get Jesus to do something because he was the Son of God. To use his position as the Son of God to do miracles. To turn the stones into bread. If he did anything because he was the Son of God, he would have been illegitimate to be our Savior, to be our substitute. He had to be all man in order to do that. So Jesus, being God, manifest in the flesh, he forfeited everything that rightfully belonged to him as God, and he operated as a prophet and a teacher under the Old Testament, under the Abrahamic covenant. And he used the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit to put Satan under his feet. So if you're born again, if you have that Spirit of Christ, you still need something else. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, every single time in the book of Acts, they spoke in tongues. So if you haven't had that gift yet, God's got a lot left for you. There's a lot. This is not you trying to live up to a religious standard. You can't. When is it enough? I mean, when have you crossed that finish line? It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. No, you can't. But if you come to him and you receive Christ, your eternity is guaranteed. It is guaranteed. You are sealed, vacuum packed with God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Messiah, the same Jesus who is sitting at the right hand, that same Spirit is formed in you. You are a new creation in Christ. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all these things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, so that you can know what you're doing when you talk to somebody about Jesus. The Holy Spirit will make you a witness. Glad you came today. I am too. That was a pretty good movie. I mean, if you're okay with it, then I got to be okay. Oh, dear. Praise God. Say this. God reveals to me the secrets of heaven, the mysteries of the kingdom, by his Spirit. Oh, get hungry for his Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. So, verse 10, it says, this is revealing. You know, all through Paul's letters, you see the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You see that God revealed things, even in the book of Acts. God, through dreams, through visions, through intuitions, through promptings, through Peter, the vision of the thing coming down, the napkin coming down from heaven. And led him ultimately to Cornelius' house, the Roman centurion who he led to the Lord, and led him into the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Let me just say this too. While I'm talking about Cornelius and hooking in with what Dwight said earlier too, is that giving to the Lord, Cornelius was a generous man. Giving to the Lord will change how God deals with you. It will take the limits off of how he will minister to you. Giving to the Lord just does that. Because we have that in Cornelius. He was a generous man. He even helped build a synagogue for him, the Jews. He loved the Jews. And he says, if you honor him, he'll honor you. If you bless my people, you'll be blessed. And he did. And he was the first Gentile to be officially inducted into the body of Christ. Just saying. Generosity is something that God, because if you're hooked in with God, generosity is a personality, and he will add to you as you can receive through your generosity. It's all through the Bible. Praise God. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, searches all the deep things of God. For what man knows, and he's talking about revelation knowledge. This is how God wants to communicate with you and with me, by revealing things to us. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. In fact, turn to John chapter 15. This is just occurring to me now, Stephen, so I didn't have this in there. In chapter 16, verse 13, it says, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will what? Guide you into all truth. And here's the thing. You got to be seeking the truth, because guiding means he can't steer a parked car. But if you're heading in, say, Lord, guide me in this. Benita, good seeing you again. Nathaniel. Thank you. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, and he shall receive of mine, and shall show it to you. That word show means reveal. He will take of mine and he shall reveal it to you. He'll open it up to you. He'll open your understanding. And then he said, all things that the Father has are mine. That's a pretty big purse you got right there. All things that the Father has are mine, he said. Everything God has is mine. Everything God has is mine. Look at this. Therefore, I said I that he shall take of mine and show it to you. What are the things of mine that he's going to show it to you? Everything that God has. This is real. This is real truth. This is real power. This is real understanding, real wisdom, and real knowledge, and a workable knowledge of the scriptures, and a workable knowledge of a life of faith, and how to do that, and how to walk it, how to see the end, and declare the end from the beginning. Praise God. Now, say that. Let's read verse 12 together in 1 Corinthians. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please, Stephen. Let's read verse 12. Let's read this together. Ready, read. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's a good one to just say about 10 times before you get out of bed. Just say it. Just say it. Speak it. Confess it as your, as God telling you what you have. Says, have you ever had to tell your kids, you know, I gave that to you a week ago. What did you do with it? Have you ever said anything like that to him? Well, this is what he's telling. He says, I gave this to you, the Spirit of God, so that you might know the things that are freely given to you. Why aren't you walking in those things? You know, there's a lot of people going to show up on that day, stand before the Lord, and there's a lot of unopened presents, gifts, and everything right there that are unopened. And he'll say, you know, I gave all these gifts to you. What did you do with them? Whoa. That's why he said, seek the best gifts. But yet I show you a better way. Love. And if you're walking in love, guess what? You're going to need the gifts. And the gifts are not for you. They're for other people that he wants to reach through you. Unlock that heart. Unlock that mind, because you have the mind of Christ, and his mind is all about other people, about your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's all about them. And the more you look to fulfill their needs, guess what's going to happen? Your needs are automatically. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Does that make sense to you? We have the mind of Christ. I want to talk about something here. It says in verse 6. It says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are of full age, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world, which come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Say that. I speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Say it again. Speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. Let's go back to verse 2. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him. Howbeit, in the Spirit he what? He speaks mysteries. Secrets. What's he saying? He who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks secrets. Secrets that are locked up just for you. Secrets that will show you exactly what you have so that you might know the things that are freely given you of God. The more time you spend praying in tongues, you're praying in the Spirit, it says. He who prays in an unknown tongue, his spirit is praying. So, you are speaking mysteries, secrets that God has not hidden from you, but hidden for you to discover. So he could take those things which are his and show them to you. This is all coming together really nice. I don't know about you, but I'm happy. I'm happy. Because next time I pray in tongues, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now that wisdom means I'll know those secrets will be revealed to me, and I'll also have the wisdom to know how to use them. I'll know how to unlock truth that somebody gives a person the ability to believe God and say, yeah, that makes sense to me. That makes sense to me. I'd like to know Jesus. Do you know who E.G. Robinson was? Edward G. Robinson, the actor. He played, he was in the Ten Commandments movie. So where's your Moses now? He was that guy. But there was a producer who got saved. He knew this Hollywood producer very well. And this guy got saved. And he was on the phone with E.G. Robinson. And he was talking to him. He says, you know, somebody said that you know something about religion. And he says, well, no, I know Jesus. He says, you know Jesus? He said, yeah, I have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And he said, well, how can that be? He says, well, he's still alive. He rose from the dead. He sits at the right hand of God. And I worship him. I talk with him. He's my Lord and my Savior. And he said, really? He said, you know, I've always wanted to know Jesus. E.G. Robinson said this. And he said, well, let's pray and ask him. And so E.G. Robinson said, sure, okay. He said, do you want to pray or do? And so E.G. Robinson says, no, you go ahead and show me how to pray. So he prayed, and he repeated after him the sinner's prayer. And he prayed, and his wife saw him after that phone call, and says, what is it with you? You're glowing. You know what happened? He went into the kitchen to get something to eat. She went upstairs and he choked to death just before he died. You have no idea how God can use you at a time. Pray in the Spirit. Let God unlock and secrets to you. Now, he may not even have realized when he picked up that phone to call E.G. Robinson about another movie what he was going to do. But still, he was being led of the Lord. You know, you can be led of the Lord knowing it and not knowing it. I've received words of knowledge without even realizing I was getting a word of knowledge. We have a wonderful, wonderful... The problem is with most churches and most of these liturgies and whatever you want to call them, they're all locked up in the Old Testament. All of their rituals. It's all Old Testament stuff. And the Old Testament, you know what? It's old. Not that it was wrong. It wasn't meant to be. It was meant to reveal who God was and who man was. So it revealed who God was, that he was a holy, just, and righteous God. And it also revealed man, that we are unholy, unrighteous, and filled with sin, and incapable of saving ourselves, incapable of being righteous. That's what it was meant to do, to undo us and say, I can't do that. If you're honest, nobody can do the Ten Commandments. Like I said last week, it says, love your neighbor as yourself. Are you kidding me? Do you know what they did? You know that party they had kept me up all night? I'm supposed to love them? Look at their kids. Look at what's going on. Look what they're doing. I'm supposed to love them like I love myself? You can't do that. You can't love God 24 hours a day, can you? You there? You can't do that. You're not supposed to. The law wasn't made so that you could justify. It says the law does not justify anybody. You can obey the law all day. But the more you obey it, the higher the standard gets and the more frustrating it gets. It says the law works wrath. It was all pointing to Jesus, saying, look, you can't do it. He did it. If you believe in him, if you trust him as your Savior, that's what it means. Trust him as your Savior, that you can't do it yourself. Trust him as your Savior, and he will open up the windows of heaven, and he will give you a life that's worth living. He'll give you truth, and that truth will make you free. I got a lot more, but we'll put on pause. Pick it up next week. Because there's all kinds of things I want to get into. This 1 Corinthians 2, praying in tongues, dunamis, all kinds of things. Oh, by the way, we got more of these, right? If you went to the out there and you didn't get one of these because they were gone, we got more. So, and they're free. No cost, no excuse. You can know exactly who you are in Christ. Read that book because it's all the Word of God. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for the Spirit of the living God. We thank you, Lord, that you you have given us so many keys. Help us to find them, locate them, understand how they work, what they open up, and what they lock up. We ask, Father, for guidance as you guide us into that truth, the wisdom of God. We ask you for wisdom. We ask you for understanding, a quick understanding. In Jesus' name, help us. Help us, help us. Thank you, Father. Well, amen.